jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Need some help out there. I'm sitting at McDonald's. Yeah, McDonald's here at Route 79, and I don't even know what the heck this other road is over here. We had a storm come through last night. Wow. It was kind of exciting, really, because all my grandkids were all at my house, and we opened the, you know, the rain cups coming in, and it starts raining really hard, and the wind starts to blow. And so I opened all the doors and all the windows so my little grandkids could see this storm and how it was really raining. The next thing I know, the water is blowing in sideways into our house. We have a big front porch. It's not easy for water to get there. And it's blowing in our house. I thought, what the heck's going on, man? And so anyway, the storm, I mean, it rumbles through and it rains and rains and rains and rains and rains and rains. And of course, power goes out, right? We're sitting there, the power goes out. But anytime the power goes out, you expect, you know, it's going to flicker and then it's going to be back on. Well, it didn't flicker and it didn't come back on. We sat there for about 20 minutes and the kids got out candles. It was kind of, they were having fun. It wasn't dark yet, but to a little kid, it was a big deal, you know. We're sitting there and we're watching the rain. And so, oh, the power's out. I'm trying to explain to them what the power is. Ooh, I could preach right there about the power of God, but I won't. And so all the rain stopped and everything. And we had guests up at Sky High who were supposed to arrive just about the same time as the storm. And so I didn't know what the heck we ought to do. And our daughter, Abby, she comes by. She said, Dad, there are people up there. They can't get in. So we pull out of the driveway. And those of you who know where I live, many of you do know where I live. And as soon as I pulled out of my driveway, it didn't matter which way I go. I couldn't go anywhere. There were trees down both sides. I couldn't get to Sky High, which is, 200 yards. I could not get to the driveway at Sky High. And I couldn't go right. Because right in the middle of the driveway or the road was the former telephone pole that provided power to our home. It was laying literally right in the middle of the street. Right there. I mean, it's like right there, right? And so those of you know, I could go straight over Sandpiper. I could go over through there. But then there was another one. Then you'd get around Sandpiper and there was another tree down. Three trees on Crislin Hill Road. I don't know if there's a message there or not. But our power was out. So, you know, you sit around, you think it was about 6:30 and you're thinking, well, you know, they'll be here any day. And it's like they never came. And then they showed up, must've been about 9:30 as I was getting ready to crawl in bed. And all they did is put up a road closed sign because the wires are literally still on the ground. And I guess it was so involved that they decided they would come back this morning and try to repair it. So just got a text message from my daughter, Abby, because they're guests staying up at Sky High, and she was going to run up there with some bottles of water so they could at least flush the toilets and do something. What a crazy night. So I ran in here to McDonald's. You can always count on McDonald's. I got a new computer, not the one I use in my studio. I'm just giving you a background here why I'm not prepared, okay? So I run in here. I'm able to get on McDonald's Wi-Fi, praise the Lord, but my computer won't log on to McDonald's Wi-Fi. So all I see is me. I don't see you. I don't know if there's any guests in here. I don't know anything at all. Ken Hall's supposed to join us this morning, but I've never needed you folks to help me carry a show more than I need you today. And I know that you will. I know that you will. I just want to throw this out here and then let us chew on this a little bit more. I don't know if we say this a lot, don't we? The times in which we live, I don't think in 6 months, how long has it been? Four months. I don't believe I could ever imagine the times in which we live. But just some good things going on. Finally, slowly, some people are starting to push back. We're seeing more and more of that pushback that's coming. But I was really, really astounded by something I didn't really get a whole lot of chance to talk with you about yesterday.
What's your Gmail account, man?
There's something that I'm sorry. You guys talking to me? I got you in my ear. If you didn't mean to. Yeah. So something that was really, really kind of blew my mind as more began to think about it was the Supreme Court decision. Some of you guys need to mute yourself. Okay. Somebody needs to mute themselves.
I think they're bringing your guest in, Coach.
Okay. Well, maybe they can mute him if they can.
Yeah.
Because I want to make a point here, and then I know Ken's going to talk about it as well. The First Amendment of the Constitution says, by the way, again, how many times do I have to say this until they get it? Constitution does not grant us rights, folks. Constitution has limits on the government. Congress shall make no law. It's a restriction on Congress. It says what? Congress shall make no law. The Second Amendment of the Constitution says, where regular militia being necessary for the security of free state, by the people keeping bear arms shall not be infringed. It's limitations on government. Every one of them are limitations on government. Searches and seizures, yada, 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 all the way down through. Restrictions on what the government can and cannot do. Now, we all know that all of this stuff been going on in regards to social distancing, and you can go to Walmart, but you can't go to church, and you can go to church, but you can't sing, and you can go to Kmart, but you can't go to funerals. Yeah, everybody knows what we're talking about, right? And what we're seeing, I think, is exactly what we try to warn people about. At least I've been trying to warn them about for a long time. Is if you don't push back against a bully, he just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And there's been absolutely no resistance. Because, by the way, has anybody ever heard of a Republican Party? Has anybody seen them? Has anybody seen the Republican Party anywhere? Huh? Anybody seen them anywhere? So what, you know, they began to tell us when we can have churches, where we can, and of course, churches comply, and we want to be so Christian, and we don't want anybody to get hurt, and Jesus loves everybody, and so do we, so we're going to social distance, and we're going to close down our churches. Yes, Massa, we'll close down. And then, on last Thursday, I think it was Thursday, maybe it was Friday, a case made it to the U.S. Supreme Court, happened quickly, because a church in Las Vegas complained that the casinos were allowed to stay open, but the churches weren't. And so they filed a lawsuit, and it got expedited. That means hurried up, got expedited to through the court system, and ended up to the Supreme Court for a real, real quick hearing, which happened on Thursday. I think the decision came down. We're 5-4. Are you guys sitting down? Are you really taking this all in? You really understand? By 5-4, the justices, including John Roberts, ruled that you can keep a casino open, but churches have no right to open. That's the decision. See, there's no guarantee anywhere in the Constitution to a casino being allowed to be open. There's no guarantee that Walmart can be open, or Lowe's can be open, or Home Depot. There's no guarantee. But there is a right that the church cannot be regulated by the government. Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Hey, folks, look. You see what this is? This is free exercise. No restrictions on what I can do. No restraints. Nobody's allowed to be able to restrain my arms. I have free exercise of it. So Congress has no control over the church. None. Zero control over the church. Yet the Supreme Court just ruled by 5-4 that, yes, they do. And why is that happening? It's happening because we have not pushed back.
Coach.
Yes.
Let's push back. I'm ready to go. Where do I have to go? What can we organize? Let's push back by the millions.
But I believe it's beginning to happen. In fact, I'm headed to New York this weekend. I get a hold of you, Greg. I thought that homo parade in Mansfield was canceled. I dropped the ball on that one, man. I thought that thing was canceled. I've been following it online. I didn't realize it. Anyway, you know, why wouldn't it be canceled? Everything else is canceled. But no, they're having some type of gap. Anyway,
I'm going to one in New York City this weekend. And Larry, you're right, Larry. We need to do it more and more and more and more and more and more. And I believe more people are beginning to awaken, Larry. But nobody, again, where the hell's the Republican Party? Where are the people who are supposed
let's
to
not wait. Let's not wait for the Republicans. Let's not wait for everybody. Let's start pushing back somewhere, someplace, somehow, now.
Okay, who's got a plan? Anybody got a plan?
Hey, Coach.
I've been smart, Larry. Hang on, Paul. They have so overstepped their bounds. They have so overstepped their bounds. They have zero authority to do what they do. Zero authority to regulate the church. Zero authority. Go ahead, Paul.
I have a novel idea. One of those churches open up a roulette table and a blackjack table, and maybe they'll be able to have church then.
Hey, never thought of that, right, Paul? Right, folks. Do you understand the seriousness of this? Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And I'm going to take it even a little bit deeper for you. I know Ken Hall's going to jump in a minute. I'm going to take it a little bit deeper for you, folks. Listen, hey. They have the government has no right to regulate any aspect of the church. Are you guys hear what I'm saying? They have no aspect. They have no right. All of those 501c3s out there, let me tell you something. The government has no business poking their nose into the business of the church. No, they have no right to find out where the money is going into the church. That is not the government's purview. They have no right to stick their nose in it. In fact, we have it just right backwards. The church should be demanding accountability from the government where every dollar is spent. We should be demanding receipts from the government. Every American church ought to demanding receipts from the government to show us how many dollars went for this and this. No. I'm not just talking overall budget. Because if the IRS comes after you, you have to produce exact receipts. You got to show them who you fed and where you fed them. You got to show all of them, right? Because why? The government is the master, and the church has permitted that to happen. And because the church has permitted that to happen, because government is above the church, we are now going to get the boot on our throat. Can you say George Floyd? They're going to George Floyd our churches, folks. It's going to happen. In fact, they said in California, hang on, they said in California that they were going to cut the power to the churches. Anybody see that besides me? Sun's coming up in my eyes. Yeah, come on in.
Yeah,
hey, hang on, Dale. Listen, folks, I cannot see the screen, okay? Yep. I can't see anybody. So pardon me if I'm walking on you. I'm not doing it on purpose.
Yeah, Coach, you know what I know, okay? Here's the scenario. What happens when an amateur fighter steps in a ring with a professional boxer? He's gonna get his clock clean.
Don't get smoked.
I'm with the church on this whole situation, Coach. And I'm just telling you, we have been seasoned for battle. We're used to going out in the streets. We're used to confronting these officers. These guys are a bunch of marshmallow Christians who have never confronted the government at any level.
Amen.
So the second they step into that arena, Coach, they're gonna get crushed.
They are, Dale. They are. Hey, Dale. Do you know that? I hate to tell you this. Do you know the IRS works for you or should? Do you know that, folks? Do you understand that? Do you know that your local city government works for the church? The church doesn't obey the local cops. Folks, that isn't the way it works, man. I'm sorry, that isn't the way it works. Now, it is the way it works because we've let them do it and push and push and push and push. Tell us when we can open and whether we can sing songs and whether we can socialize. We've let the government tell the church what to do. Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So if I want to fill my church with a million people, there ain't a damn thing they can do about it.
No, Coach, if you sign a contract, you would honor a contract, right? You would honor a contract.
If the other side does.
No. You, Coach, would sign a contract. You would honor that contract.
As long as the other side did.
No, that doesn't matter. As an honorable man, you signed a contract.
Yes.
And the church became a subchapter corporation of the United States Incorporated, and nobody paid any attention.
Through deception, Jack. People didn't know that. They didn't know.
Coach, Linda put something in the text that maybe we need to ask Roger here. He may know more exactly. But Linda said she thought the Supreme Court thing wasn't a ruling. It was an opinion. Is there a difference? And which one was it?
It was an opinion. They're all opinions, Larry. They're all opinions. Right?
Well, now, Roger, you're here. Is a Supreme Court opinion, is that a hard nailed in the wall ruling, or does it have to be called ruling, or what?
Well, I think the key there is how the people respond to it.
Right.
People are responding to it as if it's the law. I think the only thing I'd add to this discussion is I think what was before the Supreme Court was a request for injunctive relief. I don't think it's a final ruling. I don't know that makes a difference from what they did. But because clearly it's very simple. Casinos can stay open. Churches cannot. That's the clear result.
In clear violation of the Supreme Court of the United States. Now, folks, let me take, okay. I'm gonna take all of you on a little lesson here, okay? Bear with me a second. I didn't mean to get... Listen, folks. This whole idea of stare decisis, previously decided cases, Roe versus Wade, in our court of law, this is so unusual for us to understand, but when Jane Roe went to the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court ruled that Jane Roe had a right to an abortion, my friends, listen, the Supreme Court gave Jane Roe the right to an abortion. They didn't legalize abortion all across America. We just acted like they did. Do you understand that? Do you understand that if you go to court today, for whatever it is, and the judge finds you guilty of something, let's say running a stop sign, that doesn't make everybody who ever ran a stop sign, or let's do it the other way. The judge said that in the situation that occurred, I ran a stop sign and I ran it because it was an emergency and I had to, and the officer charged me anyway, but if I didn't run that red light, I was going to die or somebody's going to die. And it goes to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court looks at the case and says, yes, coach had a right to run that stop sign. That does not make the running of stop signs everywhere in America legal. It has to do with that one case, folks, just that one case. Do you understand that? Do you understand that there can be no blanket ruling on every case? And that's exactly what's happened to us. Now, the legal scholars are going to argue with me, but you're going to argue only because that's what they told us and that's what they taught us. The Supreme Court, it gives an opinion. And was it Harrison? One of those guys said, well, they've made their decision. Now let's see them enforce it. There are no enforcement powers at all at the United States Supreme Court. That's what the Senate and the House is for. They're supposed to keep the Supreme Court in check, in line. And instead, they've yielded all the authority to them. I'll shut up for a second. Go ahead.
Hey, Coach, did you see where all those doctors in D.C. yesterday?
Yes, yes.
And they pulled all that down, bunch of devils.
Yeah, but they won't give them any publicity to it, though, right? There's something crazy going on. Ken Hall, are you in here, Ken Hall?
Yeah, I'm here.
Ken, what's going on? What's going on? Folks, this is Ken Hall. Ken's the one who went with us to Hillary's house and does all that great patriotic music and all that stuff. In fact, Jared, maybe we can get his – I can't see anything here. I'm sorry. Maybe we can get Ken's website up there. But I went out and spent some time with Ken a couple months ago. Ken's all in, man. Ken, what the hell's going on?
Well, our country's in the process of falling apart. And, you know, the problem is, like you said, we've abdicated our authority. We've abdicated our responsibility in so many ways for so long that now it's become standard operating procedure for the church for the most part. You know, when you look at, for instance, like what you were talking about, you know, everybody looks at the Supreme Court as the last say in what's constitutional and what's not. No, they're not. We are.
They're not. We are.
You know, that's why they have a Second Amendment, because it really comes down to what are you willing to defend? What are you willing to risk your life to defend? Because that is, you know, what you determine.
Hey, Ken, let me ask a question right here, folks. This is for everybody, okay? This is so easy, okay? So easy. If the Supreme Court says you have to take a vaccination, is that the law of the land?
Nope.
Hey, folks, stop a minute. I want you to think a minute. If the Supreme Court rules that you have to take a vaccination, is that the law of the land? Don't anybody say anything.
No, it's not.
No, it's not the law of the land, is it? It's not the law then. No. But that's where this is heading, isn't it, Ken? This is where this is heading, because we've been convinced, and our churches have been convinced, that the Supreme Court is the highest ruling of the land. That's messing with.
And they're not even going to use government to try to enforce it right away. What they're going to use is the stores. They're going to use the corporate stores and so forth, because, you know, just like they're doing with the mask right now, they're going to come out and say, well, unless you have proof that you've had the vaccination, you can't come into our store. You can't fly. You can't, you know, do this, you can't do that, and basically start squeezing you out of the...
So what we were talking about, what Alan Zeifer was talking about, and he was so right, excuse me, so right what he was talking... I'm telling you, this stuff, enrages me, folks. It enrages me. And it enrages me because they are going to begin to pile on, because we are nothing but sheeple wearing the mask. And what Alan was talking about yesterday is there was a conglomerate of about 15 medical doctors who went and did a press conference yesterday saying Fauci and all this stuff is bogus. They've been treating patients. Oxychloroquine, whatever that stuff is, that it works. This is not as dangerous. And yet you get no media coverage on it at all. And I'm here at McDonald's and people are driving around and they're still wearing stinking masks. And they've got a soap program that you think that they're not going to line up and have the mask wearers against the non-mask wearers. And then the vaccine takers against the non-vaccine. You can't see that coming. I don't know what's going on. Ken, I'm walking all over here. Somewhere. I'm sorry.
No, that's exactly right. That's what's coming. And, you know, and unfortunately, it's going to come down to, you know, us. The United States is in the process of being divided. You know, actually, the church is in the process of being divided between the wheat and tares.
Yeah, it's just being exposed, Kenny. It's not being divided. It's just being exposed. That division's been there a long time.
Right. But now people are going to be forced into making that decision. Are you going to put your trust and your faith in God? Or are you going to put your trust and faith in the system into, you know, pedophiles and the people that want to permanently alter your DNA? So at what point are you no longer even God's creation, you know, and have no idea what the long-term consequences spiritually or physically are from the vaccination? That you can be certain of one thing, it's going to be damaging. It's going to be far worse than the COVID-19.
And so we saw that the Supreme Court ruled that you can go to a casino and sit at a crap table. Have no restrictions, but you can't go to church. We saw they ruled that, right, Ken? We saw that. Didn't we, Alan? Isn't that what we saw? Isn't that exactly what we saw? And so here we are, and we now understand. Hang on with me just a second. Folks, listen. There is no rule of law in America. No. We saw that the police chief in Seattle write a letter and say, we can't protect you. We saw it, folks. We saw it. And see, there's only a facade right now of lawfulness in America. And the only way that they're able to control everything is that they are banking on those good Christians continuing to fall in line and follow the law right into the gas chambers. Not really, but might as well be. Might as well be. So we showed John MacArthur yesterday finally beginning to push back. Where's he been the last 50 years? Where's he been? Where's Franklin Graham? Where are these religious leaders who are going to go out there and lay everything they have on the line and say, enough's enough. Government is not God. Is that going to happen? Yes.
We, the people, should be demanding that those five Supreme Court justices be impeached by Congress or resign before they get impeached. But impeachment is for judges as well as for elected officials. It's been used for judges more times than it's been used for elected officials in the history of our country.
Yes, but Larry,
is what they have to have.
Larry, the people we want to impeach them are wearing masks.
They're sitting in church wearing masks. You have an impeached judge in the House of Congress right now. An impeached judge is sitting in the House of Congress as a representative. Now, here's a prophetic word, Coach. It just came to me. The first ultimate role of the government that it was established was to protect the people. That is its ultimate role. When in 1973, the government refused to protect the defenseless,
amen,
the babies, Coach, God, begin to refuse to defend our nation. Mm. We're now looking at what a nation looks like.
Amen. Amen.
When God refuses to defend it.
Amen, Dale.
So we're in a mess, aren't we? Huh? We're in a mess.
Yeah. Coach, our problem is not the Supreme Court. It is not the government. It is Almighty God.
Mm. Amen.
Amen. He's bringing that gavel down, isn't he? He's bringing that gavel down.
The just of a just God.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Amen.
You know, the church could have stopped this decades and decades ago if they would have been in the street until, you know, that ruling was changed, until this abortion was ended. It wouldn't have taken a month. If they would have refused to pay their taxes, it wouldn't have taken a month.
I agree. They should have. They should have, but they didn't. And the fact that they didn't, it does us no good to talk about all the should haves. What does us good now is talk about what do we do now. The should haves and could haves are irrelevant at this point.
Right. Yeah. Listen, we got to think about this, though, fellas. Listen. See, here's the dichotomy in the church. We love to say God's in control. That's our fallback position. Oh, well, God's in control. Oh, well, God's in control. Oh, well.
But how? The question is, how does he control? Oh, he controls through the actions of men.
Oh, well, God's in control. Well, he told us to occupy till I return.
Yep.
He said, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. The entire scripture, if you read the entire scripture, it's nothing but righteousness confronting darkness through it over and over and over. It's never been about the current life of the current people who happen to be on the face of the earth at that time in history. It's never been about that, fellas. It's always been about the confrontation of good against evil, seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. Always has been. It's only been in the late 20th century and early 21st century that the gospel has become a gospel of tolerance. That's what we're fighting.
Amen, Coach. God's control has always been through obedient servants who obey his instructions and directions. So God being in control equals us doing what we know to be right. Because if you know what something to be right and you don't do it, you're sinning, baby.
Obedience even unto death. That's what it said about Jesus, right? Obedience even unto death. Right. Come on in, Brian.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm trying to direct it, and I can't see anybody, so I'm sorry.
Hey, Coach. I was just saying, did you watch that whole thing? Me and my wife watched almost that whole thing with those doctors. Did you watch it all?
I didn't watch the whole thing, no.
Coach, they broke it down. They even went as far as what vitamins you need to be taking to build up your immunity, how this thing's destroyed. They really destroyed Fauci, too. They destroyed the whole narrative, Coach. That's why they took that thing down. They really laid the groundwork, and these doctors from all over the nation, majority of them was from California, a few of them was from L.A., I mean, big-time people, and they shut this thing down. But I believe enough people saw it that this thing is going to make a chain reaction.
So let me ask you this, Sid. Let me ask you this. What's going to happen when they order another shutdown? That's the question. What's going to happen?
Right.
Because they're going to. At some degree, they're going to. And, you know, there was a time when do you remember when the left always was getting on us because they were calling us the science deniers, right? We want to deny evolution, and we wanted to deny the whole gay agenda because, you know, there's a gay agenda. We wanted, they were the real scientists, and we were the science deniers, right? Mm-hmm. Now it's been exposed for exactly what's going on. They don't want science. They want controlled science.
My wife watched that, and she said the highlight was when that one doctor came out and literally rebuked and put Fauci in his place. He goes, when's the last time Fauci has ever stuck a stethoscope to a person's chest? Right. I've been dealing with hundreds of you. I want to jump back. I'm just in my spirit right now, brother. It is stirred. Right. When we say, and I hear Larry, what he said, that God uses men. Look, God doesn't always use men to bring judgment. Look at the plagues that came upon Egypt. But look when God told David, don't count your men. And he did. God sent an angel. I'm telling you, you look at when Trump won, that was an act of God. There's no doubt about it. When God comes forth in his justice, and he is going to declare justice. I want to tell you something. I pray that we are truly on our knees in a humble, repentant stance, because it's going to be heavenly cataclysmic. That's what I believe.
Right. It talks about this. It talks about where we are right now in the book of Revelation. So, you know, it says, come out of her, my people. Be not a part of her sins, lest you also take part in her judgment. and give unto her double the torment that she has given unto you. You know, that's where we are. We've got to start separating ourselves from this Babylonian system.
Okay.
We've got to start creating a defensive around the country.
Let me throw this curveball at you. Jeff, I heard you. Just a second. Okay, let me throw this curveball at you. Again, I didn't do any show prep this morning. I'm sorry, but I happened to catch this yesterday. 77%. Let me fix this. Are you looking at me? Because this is some of you. 77% of conservatives, whatever that means, Bible believers, are afraid to speak the truth to their friends for fear of retribution. Did you guys see that? Anybody see that besides me? 77% will not open their mouth, will not speak the truth about what they really believe. And as a result, we have this false feeling that everybody's in line with what's going on and everybody isn't. They're not in line, see? It's great, great deception. Jeff, go ahead. You were going to say something.
Coach, I was going to say Dale is right on it. Remember how Flip always did them early mornings in the parking lot devotionals?
Yeah.
6:30. We were out in that parking lot, 6:30, parking garage, 6:30 in the morning, and Flip went straight to Malachi 4, verse 6. And he broke that down. Here's the problem in the nation. Malachi 4, 6. See if Dale wants to touch on that one.
Turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse.
Yep. Well, last word in the Old Testament. Curse.
We're beyond that.
My Father's Day message this year was because there's no fatherhood, because there's no fathers in the hood.
Mm.
Amen, Dale.
Yep.
Pastor right. Flip had a bunch of statistics on that with where we're at in this nation. Amen. He broke it down and here is our problem. This is the problem right here in America.
Well, let me take it a little bit further here. I'm getting ready to raise my hand. All of you, get your hand loose. I'm going to have you raise it. Okay, you ready? How many of you in this queue, God-fearing, Bible-believing, church-going people, get your hand ready, have children who are away from the Lord? Go ahead and raise them. Oh, I see that one. I see that one. Yep, I see that one. 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 Does anybody know what the common denominator is? Anybody have any idea what the common denominator is?
They have the same father.
How about public schools?
Mm-hmm. Yep, coach, because I'm sitting back going, man, I'm telling you, you cannot send them off to Caesar and expect them to not come back, little Roman soldiers.
Yep. And the idolization of our high schools and our high school sports teams and their choirs and their plays and their everything. Oh, we have the greatest teacher. Oh, my, you know, I know that they're not teaching the Bible in school, but oh, boy, my teacher, she's a Christian. Right? The foolishness of churches. Listen to me. Churches who sit open, empty every day, right now, open, empty, not a soul inside of them, as the kids get on that yellow school bus to hell to go be indoctrinated into the doctrines of demons. That's what's going on, see? But hey, well, your pastor speaking out against that? Your pastor speaking out? Now the kids are out of public schools? Are your pastors doing it? Are your pastors raising up an army of teachers in your local church, raising them up to begin to educate the children? No. Okay, listen, I got to shift gears here because I had Ken come on for a reason. Ken, talk about what the stuff you're trying to do with the cops and why what you're doing is so important.
What we're trying to do is we're trying to reestablish the partnership between law enforcement and the civilian population and keeping their community safe and secure.
Because, Ken, let me stop right now. Because right. That division is so obvious in the inner cities, isn't it, Ken?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And aren't actual police officers beginning to see for the first time, maybe in a long, long time, who's on their side and who's not on their side? Go ahead,
Absolutely.
Ken.
Absolutely. I mean, that's – we have you know, there's always an opposite and equal reaction to everything that's going on. And right now we have all these people trying to replace the cops because they want to, they say they'll want to get rid of the cops, but we know what's going to happen. They're going to replace them with the social justice warriors.
That's right. Obama's army,
exactly. Instead, and law enforcement are beginning to feel the heat, and they're beginning to reevaluate the, you know, their perception of the patriots, especially in the community. You know, because they've been brainwashed and told for decades, you know that the Patriots were the threat, that they were the ones.
There you go.
And now they realize that we're not the threat, that we're a natural ally. And so we're establishing a community support program throughout the state where we're developing teams within every county within the state in order to give a list of people to the local sheriff departments. Of people that they can call on an emergency for whatever it be, you know, disaster relief or additional security, and people that will be trained to help them with additional security, and people that will train with the local law enforcement, so if they become a unit, they become a team.
Can you mean to tell me you're making appointments and sitting down with the sheriffs and letting them know you're on their side?
Yeah.
Hey, Ken.
Yeah.
What's the name of your group?
We're calling the Nebraska Community Support Team.
Oh, Nebraska. I graduated from high school in Bellevue.
Of course, obviously, you'd name it by the state, but, you know, Community Support Teams is what we're calling it.
Those of you who live in the country, live out in the country like I do, live out in the country, small little towns. Hey, fellas, are we developing relationships with our local sheriffs? Does the local sheriff, if trouble were to break out, does the local sheriff know? Does my local sheriff or Andy Thorpe, does he know I'm going to call Coach Dave because Coach Dave's got some good men that'll help me? Do we have that kind of relationship with our local sheriff, and why don't we?
Ken, can you provide some contact information so I can contact you after this huddle?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, that's what, you know, the Lord's been putting on my heart. I learned that at Virginia. You know, I wrote the parody that they're using for the movement out there and sang the opening song. And when I was talking to all the law officers and stuff, because when I went through the gate, you know, I talked to the guys because I had my cards and my Patriot music. They asked what I was there, so I'm singing the song and this and that. I had about 3 hours before the speaking started, so I was able to talk to at least a dozen officers, you know, at least half of those for 20 minutes at a time. And in my conversation with them, I realized that they were just like us. They were on our side, you know, even the Capitol Police, even the state police. And, you know, everybody said, well, they passed all that legislation, so what good did it do? What good it did was it built such a bond between the Patriot community and law enforcement that day, a bond of mutual respect and trust, that they can't get anybody to enforce the legislation. So they can pass all the laws in the world, and there's nobody in the state that will enforce it.
You know something, Ken? It was funny. A couple weeks ago, my grandson butt-dialed our local 911. And we couldn't cancel it. So the sheriff shows up. Deputy shows up. And the deputy gets out of the car and he doesn't have a mask on. That's the first thing I said to him. I said, you know, sorry, but the accent. I said, you don't have a mask on. He says, yeah. I said, we don't wear masks. I said, our sheriff's not going to enforce that stuff. He tells them to, if they got a complaint, call the health department. Let the health department deal with it. See, that's the way it's supposed to work, right?
That's what's supposed to work. The county sheriff is the supreme law enforcement officer in his county. He has jurisdiction over everyone, including the feds. You know, Sheriff Mack and another sheriff took the immunity bill to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court stated in their ruling that not only could the federal government not, you know, impose upon him the duty to enforce unconstitutional laws, but he had an obligation to protect the people in his county from anyone that came into his county and tried to.
Okay, so Ken, so how does a guy like Brian Cunningham or a guy like Paul Webb or a guy like whoever, pick whoever, how do they go about building this relationship with their sheriff? What do they do, man?
I went in and talked to him and I said, look, you know, we're trying to build these communities, you know, support teams, because first of all, we don't want them to replace you because we know what we're going to get, you know, and that's going to create a civil war. And we all want the same thing. We want to keep our communities safe. We want to keep our communities free, you know, prosperous if at all possible. But I said, you know, and we want to work with you directly under your supervision. So we're going to put these teams together, you know, of people you can call on in an emergency, you know, to help and support you in any way we can, you know, and we want you because you're, you know, from the constitutional standpoint, the county sheriff should be the leader or the commander of the local militia in his county.
Hey, Kate, hey, Sheldon, if you can, Sheldon, if you can, real quick, pull up the Second Amendment. Keep talking, Ken. Yeah. When the Second Amendment's up on the screen, somebody let me know that. Keep going, Ken. I'm sorry.
I had no problem.
Stream of consciousness going on here because I can't see anybody.
And then we talked about a lot of the things that were happening and the abuse of power and so forth, and you know, the fact that everybody acknowledged to me that yes, there's definitely issues within law enforcement that need to be corrected. You know, so they get it. They understand that things have gotten out of control. They understand that there's got to be changes on their part. You know, at least the sheriffs that I've talked to so far. And like I said, and I was shocked at how open they were to the concept of us coming in with support teams to help them, even in counties like Lancaster County, where, you know, which is our state capital, and they have a huge force to call on. They've got the state patrol and they've got the National Guard that they can call in an emergency, but they were still, you know, eager to have for us to have their back and to have additional support. We're going to have
Ken, there is no elected official closer to you and your fingers and your touch and your reach and your control than your local sheriff. You right. have the ability to impact him. You can right. probably pick up the phone and give him a call and get an appointment with him. It may take a while. You may have to make a few phone calls, but you probably, as opposed to trying to get in to see your congressman or your senator or whatever. So we can still have, is Chad in here? Is Chad in here today? I don't know if he's in here. Pull up the Second Amendment real quick. Is it up on the screen?
Hey, Ken. Ken, real quick, can I ask you a question? You know, sure. Alaska doesn't have sheriffs because they don't have counties. Connecticut doesn't have sheriffs because they don't have county governments. And Chappaqua, New York doesn't have sheriffs because the county disbanded it years ago when Hillary moved there.
Right.
What do we do when the sheriffs have been pushed out of the picture?
Well, here's the thing, Larry. Is there a sheriff where you live? Then let's worry about
jerk,
where they
but
are.
We got one.
Well, let's get the ones that we can get to. So listen, up on the screen, I think is on the screen, the Second Amendment to the Constitution. Dr. Edwin Vieira pointed this out to me. I'm not name dropping, but I'm giving myself some credibility here. Dr. Edwin Vieira read the Second Amendment to me, which says, I can't see it, a well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Dr. Edwin Vieira pointed out to me that the most important word, phrase in that entire First Amendment was necessary.
Right.
Necessary.
Right.
A well-regulated militia being necessary for what? The security of a free state. It's necessary, folks. It's necessary. And so I would say, Chad's probably sleeping in today. I would say police officers, sheriffs, are probably wringing their hands trying to figure out what the heck are they going to do.
Right. And local police officers and local police departments, if you've got decent people in your community, they're going to be just as open to this program as a local sheriff. Now, that being said, you know, we're going to have a reality check and realize as this continues to progress, you know, downhill, people are going to have to migrate. You're going to have to find, because, you know, just like the Bible in Revelations talks about, you know, separating ourselves from Babylon, it talks about that there's a place that God has prepared a place in the wilderness for her to flee to. You know, I believe that he's doing that through people. I believe we're in the process of building those places in the wilderness right now, where at least a reasonable amount of freedom and a reasonable amount of, you know, stability, you know, are going to be secured by local law enforcement and by the people and the patriots within those communities. And you're going to have to, you know, if you're not in a place where that could be built, you're going to have to get to one.
Mm. Here's a unique thing, Coach. I don't know if you realize this, but is it a coincidence or is it something unique? Louisiana is the only state in the union that has parishes.
Yeah.
And everybody else has counties. And a lot of people don't realize that Louisiana is still under the old heritage. Parishes were developed where it was church influence over.
Oh, be darned. Is that right?
It's absolutely. It's the influence of the church. And so we have parishes. And what he's talking about, as a former chaplain with the sheriff's office in our parish, our sheriff has 40, not one. Most only have one chaplain. We have 40 chaplains integrated within our police department, and some of them are sheriffs. We have one of the lowest murder and violent rates in the nation per capita of people.
I'm just pondering the influence.
Our sheriff came out and he said to the new cadets that came out 5 years ago, he lifted the chaplains up and he pointed them out. He said, these are some of the most important people in the sheriff's department. He says, and I want to tell you why. He says, because most crimes, violent crimes, deal with domestic violence. He goes, you guys are young people with guns. He goes, these people are ministers of God and they deal with that. He says, and you need to turn that stuff over to them. I'm just telling you that when you're looking at that pattern of what you're looking for in your sheriff, that's what you're looking for.
So Dale, I'm just sitting here again. The sun's hit me in the face. I can't even see the screen. So folks, why aren't, oh, I know. Okay. Why are we not infiltrating these positions of authority? How come we're not contacting our sheriffs and our local officials and say, we're on your side, having coffee with these guys in the back room saying, we're going to hold you account. Oh, I know why. Because we're not going to be here long, are we?
No, yeah, because right. Our pastor told us there's a separation of church and state.
There's a separation of church and state. By the way, we're not going to be here long anyway.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Here's a good example. We show up in St. Louis, Missouri. It's not our town, but we can do this in our own county. So we show up at Kim Gardner's house, the prosecuting attorney that wants to, she's against the cops. She calls the cops on us as the Christians outside ringing her doorbell to rebuke her. The cops show up, three or four cruisers, unmarked car. The black Tahoe was the chief of police. He told Pastor Bill, he said, sir, he said, you're on the right track. And they all give us the green light to do what we wanted because they knew them Christians, them street preachers out on the street were on their side. They give us the green light.
See, here's the thing, folks. Again, folks, listen. Here's the deception, see. The average guy sitting out here in Hebron, Ohio, with the sun hitting him in the face, turns on the media in the morning, and he sees Fox News and CNN and PMS, and they see all these riots going on in the cities and that the police are losing control in the cities. And they think, oh my goodness, there's lawlessness everywhere. But you know what? There isn't lawlessness here in Hebron, Ohio. There isn't law. It's not here. It's not here. But see, they've convinced us that it is, right? They've convinced us. Huh? Oh, listen, Trump's going to lose. There's no way he's going to win. Look, the cities are on fire. Oh my God, Trump isn't going to win. And what happens? We sit back and we lay low. 70% of us don't want to say anything because we're afraid we're going to offend some little sweetheart next to us. And as a result of it, we are being deceived again through our silence rather than speaking the truth so that others are going to be encouraged. Courage is contagious.
Coach, well, we were in New York when we went out there, Coach. I mean, we get out there in New York State.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
You're thinking you're going to be surrounded by people screaming at you because they hate you. 85% of the people were in support.
Folks, when we went to Chappaqua, New York, we thought we were going into a lion's den, and people were coming up to us secretly and saying, it's about time. Thank you for being here. See, the media is controlling the way we view things. We got to understand it, man.
Coach.
Yeah, Randy.
This is our time. Larry talks about where's the true church. It isn't the institution. It isn't the satanic social club. Okay,
no, that's
right on. Okay, but where are they? Coach, here's where they are. It's where a guy like me stands up in Whataburger the other day when there's about 20 men standing there and looking at all this mass thing and everybody's shaking their heads. And I preached a little sermon there in about a 5 minute. Coach, we have to arm everyone how to speak truth.
Amen.
I'm doing it. You're doing it. Most all of us are doing it. But I look at these people and they're all looking at me like, wow, that's good. But I'm showing them how to do it. We got to be out there and do this to show them how to speak truth. This is what's happening across our nation.
See the left doesn't have any trouble offending us, right?
It's how we do it, Coach. Well, it's, I don't do it with rioting. I do it, firmly, but I do it in love, true love, not tolerance. And they're going to see the difference. If we will just do it, that people are going to discern the difference between what the spirit that's running that guy and the spirit that's running that guy. They can see it. We have to speak.
Amen. Amen. Hey, Ken, how do we get started doing what you're doing?
Well, basically, like I said, the first thing I did is we already had a bunch of people that were getting together to start putting groups together for security and stuff for just our own communities and our own families and stuff, to begin with. And we just took that, expanded upon that, and developed that into a program where we would work directly under, the local sheriff departments. And I started contacting sheriffs, and we're recruiting people. We've got people. And the thing was, it was always difficult to get people to come to training. Nobody wanted to be associated with the militia. That's like a dirty word, even though if it wasn't for militias, we wouldn't have the United States. But regardless, it was like a dirty word. But now as soon as I came out and said, we're going to form these teams to work under and with and under the direction of the local law enforcement. Now, people are coming out of everywhere wanting to be a part of it, because now they realize that by doing this, they're not going to end up in a conflict with law enforcement, which is what they were concerned about. They didn't want to be in an unnecessary conflict with law enforcement. Well, law enforcement doesn't want that conflict either. And so now is the time to reach out to those communities and say, look, we want to put these people together. We want to be, especially your county sheriff, we want to be under your direction. If you're willing to keep your oath and keep your community free and safe, we're your natural ally. And we're going to have your back everywhere you go.
You better understand this, friends. The local sheriff is first and foremost a political position. It's a political position. It's an elected political position. Now, in large cities, I'm thinking of JR out there, he's in Westville and he's trying to get a hold of his city police chief, or he's trying to get a hold of the sheriff of Franklin County. Good luck, man. Good luck. But out here, I went to high school with our sheriff. How many of you in a situation where you know your local sheriff? We actually could call him and say, hey, Randy, can I grab a cup of coffee with you, Randy? I know he's a big Cleveland Browns fan. Hey, Randy, can I come watch the Browns with? Develop these relationships with these local guys who are local people. They've risen up out of the community. We can still have an impact with these guys. But, folks, we have to have a plan. We have to have a plan. We have to make them not afraid of us. Hey Kenny, I gotta believe they're screaming for help, Ken.
And if your sheriff is not interested, go to all the counties around him. So build that relationship with them, because that's what we're doing throughout the state, is we're building the relationships, primarily with the smaller counties, except for Lancaster, which is a very large populated county, because they were calling for help in the news. So I just went to find out how serious he was. Found out he was damn serious. So you never know. I would contact your sheriff and find out. But if not, then go to the other counties in the state. Go to the ones that are more rural. We've got counties out here that have a sheriff and a deputy, and that's it for the entire county. And that's the only law enforcement in that county. And so, go to those communities and build that relationship with them and surround those communities where they're hostile. Create that safe zone in the rest of the state, kind of like Virginia is doing. Now it's like almost 90% of the counties in the state are sanctuary counties. Yes. They're not allowing any of the gun legislation that they're passing to be enforced in those counties. So they're surrounding those liberal, cesspools, basically, and quarantining them. If you want to enforce that legislation in your county, go for it, but you're not doing it where we are.
So what was it John MacArthur finally said yesterday? We played that tape, that video of him. He finally, after 50 years, finally admitted that sometimes we're not supposed to follow ungodly government. He finally admitted that. Finally, after 40 years of pumping that bilge from the pulpit into other pulpits, that we are always to obey government. Romans 13. Folks, that thing is being flipped on its head, flipped on its ear. There is no authority but that which comes from God. It's what it says in Romans 13.
Yeah. The guy that wrote Romans 13 was executed for what? Defying government. Jesus was executed for what? Defying government. All the apostles except for one was executed for what? Defying government.
Unrighteous government.
The only one that wasn't executed was exiled for the rest of his life on an island for defying government.
Amen,
defying government. Because there's one government. And he's not on this planet right now. And we represent him. He told us to occupy this planet till he gets back. Because well, it's his throne. It's not their throne. It's his throne, and we're supposed to be protecting it.
Yeah, but Ken, we're about out of here. You can just look around. You can see we're about out of here.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
Well, the point is, right? If that's right. Our attitude, right?
If that's your attitude, I understand why the people are so lazy and why they, you know, and why they're allowing this to happen. But you know what? So what, are you going to leave this for your grandchildren to deal with? You know, are you going to leave this for the people that maybe are on the border that, you know, you say they're going to get saved during the tribulation, you know, so you're going to leave it for them to deal with. You're just going to let it fall apart so that they go through hell, you know, in order to try to, you know, just save their, you know, save their spiritual relationship, because most of them are going to die. Well, guess what? You know.
So, Kenny, I've
seen Jesus is coming. Jesus is going to thresh his floor. He's going to thresh it.
Well, he is.
And he's already started.
He is. So listen, I like to share this story because it's true and it's really kind of apropos at this point. I remember when I was first season, I was building a program. We weren't very good. We were always getting our butts kicked. And I remember it was about 2 minutes to go in the game and called a timeout. And I got all the guys in the huddle. I called all the team in. They only had about 35 guys. I gathered them all around me. I said, listen, I want you to know this. When this game's over, I'm watching the film, and we got no chance of winning. Right now, we got no chance of winning. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to watch the last 2 minutes of this game, and if I see any of you that have quit, you will never see the field again. You guys understand me? Because competing is playing till the end, no matter whether or not you have an opportunity to win or not.
Right.
The glory is in the battle. The glory is in the struggle. So some of you boys, your future is on the line right now. Know this. I'm going to be watching every player on every play. And if you quit, you're never playing for me again. Yes. What if the Holy Spirit, what if Jesus sat us down and said that to us?
Well, he did. He did. All over the Word of God. It's everywhere.
He did say that, didn't he? He did say. He said, go get on the bus. We're about out of here, boys. Go get on the bus.
Paul said it. James said it. John said it. Everybody said it. You know, it's the same story over and over again. It has nothing to do with whether we survive physically. It has nothing to do with whether or not we become prosperous or all this American dream bullshit. There's only one thing matters. Are we obedient to the end?
Because we're all going to die, aren't we, Kenny? We're all going to die. We're all in a meat suit. We're all in a meet. Got a couple minutes left. Somebody help me out here. Bring this.
Hey, coach.
Yeah.
Last weekend after church, Pastor Bill looked at our wives because we're getting ready to go to St. Louis, Missouri. Now, all we've heard is don't go. You're going to be killed. You're going to be beaten. They're going to throw bricks at you. You're going to have to just, it's dangerous. He looked at Mary Jane, my wife. He looked at Connie. He said, listen, the Lord sends us out. He didn't say that we would return.
Amen.
And the look on their face was shocking. You know what I mean? But we went.
Yeah.
Yep. Heaven forbid that Christian men would go. Heaven forbid that Christian men would go. Hey, Ken, if somebody wants some more information, how do they get a hold of you?
You can reach me at patriotmusicnetwork@outlook.com. Or you can reach me at 402.
Don't give out your number. So patriotmusicnetwork.com.
patriotmusicnetwork@outlook.com. That's my email address.
Okay.
Or if you go to my website, patriotmusicnetwork.com, you can.
There you go. I pull that up there real quick.
If you need music to get you pissed off and ready to go to war, then believe me, there's about 130 of them on there that'll do that.
PatriotMusicNetwork.com. You can connect with Ken through that Patriot.
If you look up Kenneth Hall on SoundCloud, you'll find all the music that's on my website, and you can download it free there too if you need to.
So Ken, last night that wind blew through and knocked down all the power out at our place. You know what I found out? Hey, Mark Trump, I know you're in here. You know what I found out?
What's that?
I found out how unprepared I am.
Yeah.
I found out when that power went out, my wife looked at me and said, can we get the generator up and running? And I said, Right.
We need to start training. We need to start getting those skills that we need. And that's part of what we're going to be doing with this community, you know, support program. It's not just about training just for security. It's about survival training. It's about self-defense training. Everything that we need to for us to be self-sufficient as a community and be able to support our community and help them become self-sufficient again.
Amen.
You guys need to come up to Maine and stay with me for a week. You'll learn all about that.
That's scary.
There you go.
A wise man sees danger coming and prepares. That's what it's all about. God bless you, Ken. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure, brother. Thanks for bearing with me.
Kind of a rough show today. Thanks for bearing with me. Go home and get some power back on. See if we can't do it the right way tomorrow. God bless you. Thanks for joining us.
Take care.